Day. Okay, next up are Georg and Thomas. We'll be talking about creepy data. We need better open source data for CRA compliance. Yes, we do. Take it away, guys.
All right, welcome all. I know it's already getting late. It's dark outside, but we're happy to see you here. My name is Thomas Tienbergen. I work, I mostly help organizations with using open source strategically, safely, and effectively. And with me,
I'm Georg Link. I'm an open source strategist. My focus is on helping organizations become more professional in their use of data and metrics. We are here because we have the Cyber Resilience Act. It's coming. The dates are approaching when we need to start to do our reporting and comply with all the obligations there is. And we want to talk about the data aspect. For those who are new to the conversation, a little background on why we need cyber resilience, cybersecurity. There have been many more attacks over the last years. The trend is increasing, and it is on the EU to say, okay, enough is enough. We need to regulate this. So the software industry is becoming regulated, and with AI, this is only compounding, and we need to have not just new tools to manage the situation, we also need to make better decisions for which we need data. When we look at the solutions that are emerging, there are a couple things we want to say to this, and we need real solutions, not just workarounds. We cannot rely on doing things by hand. We need to automate things. We need the reliability of the data and the tools that we are using. And there are a lot of things already in the works, and we will need to, of course, support open source with whatever the companies and organizations that have the obligations, they will need to work in the upstream, ideally. That is my hope as an open source strategist and advocate. So one of the things that I believe in, that we believe in, is that we have the digital commons for the software supply chains, and there are shared solutions. And if we picture what the world could look like in the ideal scenario, we have best practices that are shared and easily available. We have practical standards that are adopted for consistency across the ecosystem. And in this ideal world, we also have interoperable tools where the data is a standard across and usable anywhere, and we can plug and play and choose the tools that we want to use. And then, of course, we need that reliable data, which is, in an ideal world, available to everyone. And if we look at this ideal world, there's already a lot being done on creating those shared tools, shared standards. The collaboration is there, and there's a lot of logos with a lot of initiatives, but really, behind the scenes, all of these people working on this know each other, they're working together, collaborating, and there is a emerging de facto standards. Some of them have even gone the step of becoming de jure standards, like ISO standards, in this process. So there is a lot already happening in this space, and it really comes to show that when we have good community consensus, we create practical standards. And that is what we are seeing. Here are some examples, again, of the standards developed by the community, where these are already available today. It's a mix and match, and I'll pass this to Thomas to talk about this more.
Yeah, so one of the things that I commonly see, I work as a to-do OSP ambassador with a lot of different organizations, is they come from a world where they have a single vendor. They bought a vendor. And they're like, oh, we have to use this vendor for this problem. In the world where I live in, where most of the time I would say, like, look, no, there is not one magical, whimsical tool that fixes everything. You have to use a mix and match of tool to basically use a basis of what you need. I know most vendors will promise you everything and nothing about commercial. There are great commercial vendors as well, but in reality, most software companies, unless you're a very small startup, you don't have a homogeneous stack where everything is the same. You have multiple different problems, and you just, like, simply said, don't think everything, because you have a hammer, everything is a nail. You sometimes need pliers, you need something to saw. It's exactly the same. You need to have a tool set. And so that's really where you see the difference happening. And you see actually the leading edge when you look at the CRA, it's all open source tools. Because people are like, oh, hang on, we need to do things. We can't do this. We need to do this differently. And that's where you basically see like, yes, oh, I need a mix match of tools that is interoperable. I need to be able to take it from one thing, I need to connect it to the other thing, and be able to do my CRA patient. Oh, ideally, I want it to be community-driven, because guess what? The CRA is still developing. We don't know. Like everybody in the community is all trying to figure out the CRA, how it works, how it can connect things together. So you really want to have a community-driven tool where really input is done. You also want to have it decentralized and federalized, because guess what? There are slightly different differences between each country. We're in jurisdiction, the law is not the same. So you want to have tools that, hey, one tool may be perfectly working in France because that's the particular way how they operate in this particular organization. But in other side, they're like, oh, hang on, we got. But still, that's why the benefit on the open source side, the code is open. I take things that are happening in France that, whilst I was in Germany, that completely don't apply in my legislation. But still, I say, hang on, that's a clever idea to do package detection. I will take this little snippet of what they're doing. They are writing it in Go. I will write it in Python. But I just take the bit that is useful. Of course, give them credit. Don't think so. And also, when I look what we do as an OSPO, so Open Source Program Office, we work together. So don't, what I see, especially in CRA, a lot of things, oh, it's a security topic. No. Yes, it's a security topic, but it's also a legal topic. It's also a topic for your developers. You really need to start learning to work together. And this is where having basically open source software is usually easier. Because the people in those teams, they can play with the tool already beforehand. And they can discuss within their group, within their peers, like, hey, I have this new open source tools. What do you think about it? And you see basically a more diverse of opinions. So this picture, we just put a few tools. In reality, I track more than 180 different tools related to the CRA. Because I often get asked about this. So we try to put some of the major ones. So again, it is a little complex. Yes, I would love, we are working on, we had a workshop yesterday in the licensing and security workshop where we actually discussed like, hey, it would be ideal if we start making a landscape picture out of it so it's much more easier. Under Open Chain project, there is actually a tooling mapping already being worked on, so to make it easier. But as I said, just keep in mind, there's not a single tool that is perfect. And I'm saying this might surprise you, I'm a tool creator myself. I, on a regular basis, advise people not to use even my own tool. People are like, but you are an org maintainer. Why are you not advising org? But in the context of that organization, my tool, it might not be the best solution. A tool from somebody else may be a better solution. So talking about tools, one of the projects that we are working on, which we got some subsidy from the European Commission, it's a project called Octet.eu. If you have any questions, Martin is also in the room here as well. We're basically trying to work for small, medium businesses. Oh yeah, there in the back, friends like this is Jordel, to basically make it easier for small, medium enterprises that might not have the know-how to basically say like, hey, fill in the CRA things. We're trying to help them out because, again, I know a lot of faces in this room, and I know some of them work for large companies. You have the benefit of big corporate backing you. Small, medium enterprises might not have that support. So luckily, the EU Commission said, like, hey, we're working on a solution for that. But said, yeah, we have a saying in my little knit of the open source community, a fool with a tool is still a fool. In this case, there's an old thing saying, like, a tool is only good as its input data. So there's another saying, garbage in, garbage out. What I see with a lot of tools when I compare them, and I do this on a regular basis, is like, oh, yeah. Why is there such a difference between these tools? And then you start looking at like, yeah, it's data. All the tools operate on different data. Luckily, there are more and more projects coming. And you find like, why is there not one project? Do you know how big the open source ecosystem is? You know how many millions of open source packages in there with all their various specific things? So there's different people working on different parts of the corners from a different angle, which is good, because then you have different opinions. And you can say basically, ecosystem says this, OSV says that. I know from working this, because I worked with some things, in some ecosystems I trust this provider better than the other provider, and then I just mix and match. But it's very good to see the differences. We do not want to have one provider that is dominant and leads everything. I like diverse opinions. I think in Europe we kind of prefer this as well. Otherwise we would have been the United Nations of Europe. So what do we still need if we have all these projects and all of this stuff? We have already so many things on. And, well, data. We only start scratching. The initiatives that we have now, they're great, but we don't have deep data. Like, we now have, like, oh, we have all the package metadata. That is great. But we don't always have good data, for instance, on what Gerg's working on, Project Health. Can I type in a random thing and show, like, how is this project doing? Do you have most of the time? Oh, the amount of maintainers for this project. I myself work with a node maintainer. Josh Brasher, one of the security guys I follow, he showed me, like, in the NPM, the top 10,000 NPM packages, I think, have, like, 40% has a single maintainer. So if you write a policy in your CA policy, oh, our risk profile says, like, we do not like packages with a single maintainer, well, then you don't use Node anymore. You can exclude all of that from your stack because the majority of Node packages are maintained by a single maintainer. And other ecosystems have a similar picture. But you need to know that. So what do we need? We actually need open, trusted, actionable, and current data that you can rely on. And this is still not there. We run out of time. Woo! Then I'll go quick. Three pillars of data that we need. Your clock was telling me something different. we need data about packages. We need data, better data about vulnerabilities. I said our projects work on this. And we need community data. I said there's lots of community projects already working on. We ourselves are fortunate enough that we are working on a new project in this space. Again, funded by the European Commission. So keep posted. We'll post on soon. Let's all collaborate on data. That's it.
That's it. Thank you.